Just so you won't think that we're totally neglecting the Bible this morning, because this is not a Bible lesson. We're not taking a passage of Scripture and exegeting that passage and giving you biblical illustrations. I'm introducing a concept to you. The background of what I'm about to say this morning and for several weeks perhaps, I have several thousand books. A part of them are in my office, many others at home. I probably have 2,000, maybe 2,500 books that I've bought, been given, so forth over the years. And they get misplaced. They get covered up. You forget that you have them. And I was going through a particular section on the bookshelf, and I came across this book by Dr. John Maxwell. Love the man. Love his work. He's a pastor in Indiana for many years until he moved to San Diego, California. And started to work there. And then he started an organization, a ministry called Enjoy, I-N-J-O-Y. And so I want to tell you this morning, basically, the story of something that happened that relates to the idea of success. That we begin to develop an idea of what is success. But before we do that, I'm going to turn to the 39th chapter of Genesis for a verse. And verse 2, Genesis 39:2. The Lord was with Joseph, and he was a successful man. I think the King James uses the word prosperous. The New King James uses the word successful. And he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. He was a successful man. Then I remembered a verse in Joshua chapter 1. Joshua chapter 1. When God was dealing with Joshua after Moses died and getting Joshua prepared for leadership. And in verse 8 of Joshua chapter 1, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth. In other words, you shall speak it, you shall teach it. But you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. So my question today is, what is success? What is success? Several years ago, there was a magazine called Success. And Success magazine published a study that Gallup did on what people thought it meant to be successful. Their answers fell into 12 different categories. But the number one answer was good health. Hmm. 58% of the people in that survey by Gallup identified with good health as being a success over everything else. I don't know about you, but I do value good health. I was at my cardiologist Friday, and he told me in person the results of my recent test on my carotid arteries, the dye test, and it's not totally blocked, it's just 70% blocked. And they do not do anything until it's 75 or more. So he said, keep on the same medications, you're doing fine, and so forth. So as far as my cardiologist is concerned, for my age and other things, I'm doing okay. I value good health, and I've been blessed with it over the years. Although you know my story, I did not believe much younger that I would live to be the age I am. My father died at 54, my mother died at 46. So what was I going to, how long was I going to live? Well, all three of us, brothers, lived into our 70s. Only Mike and I are left now, and he has about 25% of a heart and so many other problems, but he's 77 or 78 years old. So good health is important, but is that the thing that we value most? If I had good health and nothing else, I don't know that I would use the label successful. People often find it hard to define success. If we were to take a few moments this morning, and I'm not going to do that today, but if we were to take a few moments, just what do we got? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I see 5 people in here. Dennis is not back there hiding, is he? Okay. There's only 5 people in here now. And they're all women except me. What would you say is success? How would you define the word? What's the criteria by which you would judge? So it is hard to define, but if you don't know what success is, how will you ever achieve it? I want to help this week and next week at least to help identify and solidify a definition in your mind, a definition I think that will work, and it's this. Write it down, because we're going to use it. And it's only 4 words. Success is a journey. Success is a journey. A number of years ago, the organization that Dr. Maxwell started, in addition to the church ministry there in San Diego, was called Enjoy. It was started to help pastors and churches do the work of the Lord, learn how to do it. It was a ministry-oriented organization. At that time, there were 74 employees made up the Enjoy team. And he and the man that was president of this organization began to talk among themselves about moving that ministry from San Diego to Atlanta, Georgia. Hmm. And they talked for several months, and then they would bring in another higher up official and sort of begin to build a little group of people that were talking about it. This wasn't for public knowledge. They didn't share it with the staff. And the leadership determined that this would be a good thing to move from Atlanta, or from San Diego to Atlanta. And it made professional sense, logistic sense, and economic sense. But it was a tough decision. I've never lived in San Diego. I've never been to San Diego. I've read about it. They say the weather is as near perfect there as anywhere in the United States. So why would you want to leave San Diego? They were not sure how the rank and file of their workers would react, because most of them who worked in San Diego there lived in San Diego. And if the climate is good and the weather is good, and why would you want to leave? Why would you want to leave? So they weren't sure how the people would react. In talking about leaving one of the most beautiful cities in America, leaving a great climate, many of the people were natives of that region. There was a lot to keep them there. And so they called a meeting. They hadn't had a group meeting, a company-wide meeting, in about a year. So the people were excited. You know, what are they going to hear? What are they going to learn? What's happening? And so when Dr. Maxwell took the platform that day, he said that we've got a very important announcement that we want to make. 1 year from now, we're going to move the ministry to Atlanta. Now think about dropping a bomb like that on a ministry in San Diego where most of the people already lived. There was a whole range of reactions, mostly shock and unbelief. But for about 50 minutes, he, the president, explained all the reasons for the move. Gave stats, gave information concerning Atlanta, showed them a video from the Atlanta Chamber of Commerce, told everyone that if they were willing to move to Atlanta, they would be guaranteed a job. And then they introduced a couple of people whom they had flown in from Atlanta, from a real estate standpoint, to answer real estate questions about property in Atlanta. So they're not sure about what kind of reaction that they're going to have. They were proposing a major change, a major shift in the lives of these people. Radical to leave California and San Diego to go to Atlanta. And you go back a few years, and then you come forward to where we are today, and that makes even less sense, doesn't it? But the interesting thing is, about 90% of that group of people were willing to move or to consider moving to Atlanta, leaving behind everything that was familiar, leaving behind family and relatives and weather and all that they had established there. He came up with four reasons why they thought the people were willing to do that. We gave them, he said, we gave them a picture of where they were going. In other words, they had, first of all, to sell Atlanta to people from San Diego. They gave them a picture of where they were going, of the future in Atlanta, a picture of a positive working environment, the number of lives that they would be able to touch, the ministry would be able to expand, and so forth, an improvement in the quality of life. I really wonder about that one. But they painted a picture so the people could see, it's called vision, could see the benefit to them personally and the benefit to the company if the company moved to Atlanta. Number two, they answered questions. They had feedback. This prospect of a journey like that can create insecurity and create numerous questions. You know that. People wanted to know where the office would be located. How were the Atlanta schools? What was the condition of the housing market? What were the cultural and entertainment attractions in the city? What about the tax structure in the state of Georgia, and so on? Questions that were answered in that very first meeting. Thirdly, these people had experienced already in California, they had experienced personal success in their lives. They knew that the ministry that they were carrying on was being a blessing and a help to so many pastors and churches. They knew they were being successful. And fourth, they were no longer the same and wanted to continue to have significance. Those who worked there in California had a taste of success. They had a taste of, this works. We're able to help people. We're able to help churches. One person said that she loved working there, helping so many people through what we do. I can't imagine working anywhere else. And that was the general feeling. The people who worked there realized that they were having an impact on the people that they were trying to help, making a difference in the lives of others changed them. You see, when we're able to help others, it changes our outlook. Our outlook becomes more positive when we realize that we're having an impact on others. It has an impact on our priorities. We want to do more of it, not less. Well, you may be thinking, that's great, but What about this definition of success? Well, it's true that we're not going to Atlanta as a congregation, but we have issues to face. We have decisions to face. And so this is a part of that preparation, I trust. What did I tell you a few moments ago success was? Four words. Success is a journey. Preparing to go on a journey. Not to Atlanta or San Diego or Florida or Indianapolis, but a journey of success. A trip that has potential for taking us a long way, maybe farther than what we're dreaming right now. To take it, we'll need something that those people needed. A picture of where we're going. Answers to questions about success. Knowledge of what success is like. And the ability to change and grow. Underline the word change. Success is for everyone. Now, is everyone successful? No. But success is for everyone. So it's for the athlete, it's for the pastor, it's for the factory worker, it's for the entrepreneur, it's for the business person, it's for the student going to college. So what is success? Well, let me break it down into three or four parts. Number one, there is the traditional picture of success. Just off the top, you haven't had a chance to research or do anything like that. What would you say would be the number one answer, traditionally, what would be the number one answer to what is success? Somebody want to venture a word?
Accomplished all your goals.
Okay, that's one.
Money.
Money. Money is the number one traditional goal. One of the most common mistakes and one of the costliest is thinking that success is due to some genius, some magic, something. Oh. Something or other which they do not possess. And let me read that again because I didn't do a good job of it. One of the most common mistakes and one of the costliest is thinking that success is due to some genius, some magic, something or other, which we do not possess. So if I do not possess whatever the magic word is here, then guess what? I can't be successful. And I'm defeated from the very beginning. Oh, I couldn't be successful. What is success? What does it look like? Most people have a vague picture of what it means to be a successful person that looks something like this. And maybe you've heard this before. Maybe you've read this before because it's published in a lot of different places. the wealth of Bill Gates, the physique of Arnold Schwarzenegger or Cindy Crawford, the intelligence of Albert Einstein, the athletic ability of Michael Jordan, the business prowess of Donald Trump, the social grace and poise of Jackie Kennedy, the imagination of Walt Disney, the heart of Mother Teresa. Now that may sound absurd, but it's closer to the truth than we would like to admit. Many of us picture success as looking like some other person. If I could only be him, if I could only be her, if I only had what he had, if I only looked like she looks. And we play the if only game. It's obvious that you and I can't be someone other than who we are. We are who we are. We're not Gates or Schwarzenegger or Einstein or Jordan or Kennedy, etc., etc. If you tried to become just like even one of these other people, you wouldn't be successful. Think about it. You would be a bad imitation, and you would eliminate the possibility of becoming the person that God created you to be. He didn't create you to be Jackie Kennedy or Bill Gates or Walt Disney or Einstein or Michael Jordan. No, he created you to be you. That's the traditional picture of success. Secondly, there's a wrong picture of success, a wrong picture. And I want to spend the rest of the time in this particular area. Even if we avoid the trap of thinking that success means being like some other person, you might still have a wrong idea about success. Frankly, the majority of people misunderstand it. They wrongly equate success with achievement of some sort, with arriving at a destination or attaining a goal. And let me list several misconceptions for you this morning. Number one is wealth. Probably the most misunderstood concept about success is that of money. A lot of people believe that if they accumulate wealth, they will be successful. But wealth does not bring contentment or success. Many years ago, this idea was put together, and it's been reprinted probably almost for a century. But it's still true. We've all heard of the old industrialist, the old Standard Oil tycoon, John D. Rockefeller. A man so rich that it's said that he gave away at least $350 million in his lifetime. He was once asked how much money that it would take to satisfy him. And his reply, his famous reply, a little bit more. Just a little bit more. King Solomon of ancient Israel said not only to have been the wisest man that ever lived, but probably the richest man that ever lived. In Ecclesiastes 5:10, you can look it up. Whoever loves money never has money enough. Whoever loves wealth is never satisfied with his income. Ecclesiastes 5:10. Wealth and what it brings are at best fleeting. In 1923, 100 years ago, a small group of the world's wealthiest men met at the Edgewater Beach Hotel in Chicago, Illinois. They were the who's who of wealth and power in America. At that time, they controlled more money than the total amount contained by the United States Treasury. Here's a list of those men, and eventually what happened to them. Charles Schwab, president of the largest independent steel company, died broke. Arthur Cutton, greatest of the wheat speculators, died abroad, insolvent. Richard Whitney, president of the New York Stock Exchange, died just after being released from Sing Sing prison. Albert Fall, member of the United States President's Cabinet, was pardoned from prison so that he could go home to die. Jess Livermore, greatest bear on Wall Street, committed suicide. Leon Frazier, president of the Bank of International Settlements, committed suicide. Ivar Kruger, head of the world's greatest monopoly, committed suicide. You think it makes them happy? You think it fulfills them? You think that's the definition of success? Most everyone in this room in your lifetime knew about Aristotle Onassis. Aristotle Onassis, the Greek tycoon. Married Jackie Kennedy, by the way. But he retained his wealth and died at a ripe old age. He recognized that money isn't the same as success. He maintained that, quote, after you reach a certain point, money becomes unimportant. Now, I don't know what that point is, but apparently he did. And you reach a certain point, money becomes unimportant. What matters is success. But he didn't define success. So what are we looking at? The wrong picture. Number one, money. Number two, a special feeling. A special feeling. Another common misconception is that you're successful when you feel happy. But trying to feel successful is probably even more difficult than trying to become wealthy. And let me restate that. Trying to feel successful is probably more difficult than trying to become wealthy. One real estate developer said, if I was to quote the name, you would know it, "The real measure of success is how happy you are. I have a lot of friends who don't have a lot of money, but they are a lot happier than I am. So therefore I say that they are probably more successful." Now this is a very wealthy, very well-known man. I'll not use his name. He's considered successful. He's considered powerful. But he believes that happiness is success. Maybe his happy friends think he is the successful one. This belief demonstrates that many people equate success with what they don't have. If I just had this, if I just had that, and if I don't have it, it's out of my reach, therefore I cannot be what? Happy. Happiness is not the key. A special feeling. Number three, specific and worthwhile possessions. We all used to have our Christmas lists, didn't we, as children? Back when we were in the toy stage, girls wanted dolls and boys wanted guns, or wagons, or tricycles, or bicycles, or baseball gloves, what have you. And if we got that particular gift, we would be thrilled. We would be thrilled. The real measure of success is how happy you are, that special feeling. And then specific and worthwhile possessions. When we grow up and hit adult life, if I just had that job, if I just had that car, if I just had that house, if I just lived in that part of town, our possessions change as our life changes from when we were a kid to when we are grown up and adults and so forth. But we soon discover, even as children, those things don't last. The emotion and the exhilaration passes. And the same is true when we become adults. It's more expensive, it's bigger, but it doesn't last. The special thing, the special possession. So the process repeats itself through the history of our life. It doesn't bring long-term commitment or contentment that we hope for, that we expect, that we're looking for. Power. Power. That's another one, isn't it? If we just had power, a wrong picture of success. Charles McElroy once joked, power is usually recognized as an excellent short-term antidepressant. It's a short-term antidepressant. That statement contains a lot of truth, because power often gives the appearance of success, even though it's just temporary. That's for sure. You probably heard the quote of the English historian Lord Acton, famous quote, power tends to corrupt, and absolute power corrupts absolutely. So for some, the pinnacle of power, the pinnacle of life, is to obtain power, secure power. Abraham Lincoln echoed that belief when he said, nearly all men can stand adversity, but if you want to test a man's character, give him power. Most people cannot handle power. They can't. Power really is a test of character. In the hands of a person with integrity, it can be a tremendous benefit to get positive, good things done. But by it in the hands of a tyrant, it causes terrible destruction. And our world is full of that. We've lived through 2 and 3 generations. We've seen that happen. By itself, power is neither positive or negative. But it's not the source of security or success. Dictators, even benevolent dictators, eventually lose power. And the fifth one, and I'm ready to close. The fifth one is achievement. Achievement. Many people have what might be called destination disease. They believe that if they can arrive somewhere, attain a position, accomplish a goal, have a relationship with the right person, they will be successful. Now, I grant you, those are all worthy. There's nothing wrong with any of those. To have a position, to reach a goal, to have a relationship with a certain person. But is that your definition of success? Simply achieving goals doesn't guarantee success or contentment. You can set all kinds of goals, and by hard work and stick-to-itiveness, you can accomplish many things. But simply accomplishing goals does not guarantee success or contentment. Now, most of you in here are ladies, except Dennis and myself, but everybody's heard of Michael Jordan. Anybody in here never heard of Michael Jordan? Probably the greatest basketball player, certainly of his era, and maybe still of all time, I don't know. that Michael Jordan decided to retire from basketball. And he'd won 3 NBA championships with the Chicago Bulls. 3. And he retired. He wasn't injured. He was just sort of bored with basketball at the time. I think he was about 32 at that time. I'm not sure. And he decided he wanted to play baseball. And so some major league team signed him and sent him to the minor leagues where you learn how to play baseball. And he did that for a couple of years. But he wasn't the Michael Jordan that we knew. He couldn't stay away from the game of basketball. And he came back to the Chicago Bulls and won 3 more NBA championships. Now he's the owner of the Carolina Cougars, billionaire, maybe a time or two. He's not known for basketball. He was pretty much a baseball. He was pretty much a failure. But his success was basketball. What he had, the strength, the ability to accomplish, he was made to play basketball. Really. Playing the game, being in the midst of the process was the thing. Success isn't a list of goals that we check off one after another. It's not reaching a destination, it's a journey. It's a journey. Now, let me just tell you about next week. I want to look at a right picture of success. The right picture of success. And the principles for getting there. Okay? And the picture is not the same for any two people. Because we're all created differently. We're unique individuals. We are uniquely gifted. I shouldn't be jealous of you, nor you of me. But you're to be you and use how God has gifted you. And I am to be used and develop how God has gifted me. Those are principles that don't change. And so I think that we've all known what we call successful people. Maybe done some studying of the subject. I certainly have. And let me give you, as we close, this is just a little more writing. But if you'll think about it this week, it'll help you prepare for next Sunday. Success is... Okay. Number 1, knowing your purpose in life. Knowing your purpose in life. Number 2, growing to reach your maximum potential. Oh, so many people fall short right there. And we talk about what a waste. They had so much potential. They could have done so much. They could have helped so many. But they didn't develop their maximum potential. And thirdly, sowing seeds that benefit others. Sowing into the lives of other people. That's how to give yourself away. It's not just sowing into your life. It's sowing into the lives of others. Sowing seeds that benefit other people. And you may see by that definition that we will work with why success is a journey rather than a destination. No matter how long we live or what we decide to do in life, you will never exhaust your capacity to grow toward your potential or run out of opportunities to help other people. When you see success as a journey, you never have the problem of wondering, have I arrived? That's an elusive destination. Just keep on. Just keep on investing in other people. Keep on growing in your potential. And make sure you know your purpose in life. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you for Dr. Maxwell. Thank you, Father, for principles that he has developed and shared with the world through his books and ministry. And may we, Lord, learn and glean and receive help and direction in our own lives as we seek to fulfill the purpose for which you have called us, the purpose for which you created us and called us. Help us to reach our potential as individuals, Lord, and as a church. We're not ready, Father, to quit. We're not ready to let go. There's potential to be had, to be developed, to be used in this very place. And Lord, help us to keep sowing into the lives of other people. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.